So today we're going to conclude our series, our three-part series about the Shabbos, the winter Shabbos. I'm going to put right now again in the chat box the source sheet. Okay, so once again we're going to be concluding our three-part series on Shabbos during the winter. The first time we talked about early Kiddush and whether we can delay Kiddush, and today what I want to focus on is these periods of the 18 minutes, right? The title of this is Racing Sunset, the most productive 18 minutes of your week. So I want to focus on this time that's always a stressful time, even certainly over the summer, or even during the summer when Shabbos is late. It's always, I remember when I was in yeshiva in Israel, the joke was that no matter what time Shabbos started, people always came 5 minutes into Mincha. It doesn't matter if Shabbos is really early, it doesn't matter if Shabbos is really late, people are always coming late to shul on Friday because Friday is always a very stressful, busy time. So what I want to focus on, so that's during the summer. So imagine during the winter when it's when Shabbos is really, really early. So I want to take a little bit of time focusing on how we deal with like halacha lemaisa in practice when Shabbos starts really early. I want to focus calling this the period of the 18 minutes, but we're going to talk more than just the 18 minutes. So first is this the 18 minutes. So what is this 18 minutes? So there's a Gemara. The Gemara, source number one, the Gemara Masechet Yoma, says, Mibai le l'chidatanya. So we have a question. The Gemara, the Torah says, Mitzem enashtu techem tishal ha-chodesh, you shall afflict your souls on the ninth day of the month in the evening. So yachol yatchil vit ane b'tish'a, t'mud lamar ba'erev. So one might have thought that one should start to afflict oneself on the ninth of Tishrei. Therefore, the Torah says, Ba'erev, telling you that it has to be at night, on the 10th. Ibe'erev, yachol mishetachshav. But if it's at night, one might think the fast starts only when darkness falls. Tamud lomar betisha, so it says on the 9th. Right, so we have two different things. That Yom Kippur is really on the 10th day of the month, but the Torah talks about how we're fasting and afflicting our souls on the 9th day of the month. And so, is it 9 or is it 10? It's not a two-day fast, right? So the Gemara answers, we learn from here that we actually start the fast, Yom Kippur officially starts, while it's still day, before halachically the 10th day of Tishrei has started. From here, we see that one, we take from non-sacred day, from Chol, and we apply Kedusha to it, we apply sacred. So that means that it doesn't matter what time Yom Kippur, you can look at the clock. Okay, Yom Kippur is supposed to start at whatever time sunset is or whatever time it's supposed to be. We add to that and we start Yom Kippur a little bit earlier. That's part number one. We start Yom Kippur starts slightly early. The Gemara continues, "Ve'einli ela b'chnisato b'tziatomi nayin." Okay, this is only at the beginning of Yom Kippur. B'tziatomi nayin, how do I know that one adds time at the conclusion of Yom Kippur? Tamud lomar, May Erev ad Erev. The Torah says, from evening until evening, implying, reading the Sefaria translation here, implying that one adds at the end as well, just as he does at the beginning. Vainly ela Yom Kippurim. But this is only Yom Kippur, right? Where this all we learned everything here about from Yom Kippur. So what about other days? Minayin? How do we know festivals, Shabbat? How do we know other days? But there's also this concept of Tosefet, Kedusha, Tosefet Shabbat, Tosefet Yom Tov, Tosefet Yom Kippurim, that we add and we start the day of Yom. We start the day of Yom Kippur early. How do we know that it happens with other days? Minayin? Tamud lomar, Tish v'tu. Einli ela yamim tovim. That might only be Yom Tov. Shabbat, Mishabbat Tov, Minayin. How do I know Shabbat? Tamud lomar, Shabbat Chem. HaKetzad, so what does it mean? Kol makom shnemar shivut. Mikan shemosivin michol al hakodesh. So we learn out, the Gemara here learns out, anytime we have the word shvut, or anytime we have this special word shvut associated with a day, that means that there is a requirement that we start the day early. If the day, if Yom Kippur is supposed to start, or if Shabbat is supposed to start at 6 o'clock, so we have to start Shabbat before then. We're bringing Kedusha of Shabbat in while it's still weekday. Now that's what this Gemara is saying. It's saying that it's across the board. Shabbat, Yom Tov, Yom Kippur. It's learned out from Yom Kippur. But we're seeing that it's applying here on Shabbat. So what is this Tosefet? Though we're adding something. How much does one have to add? So there's a Tosfot, Masechet Beitza, source number two, the Perusha Tosefet. So that which when we talk about adding, you have to add, you have to start Shabbos a little early, you have to start Yom Kippur a little bit early. Lo Huvrar HaShi'ur, the amount of time that you have to add is not clear. It's not said anywhere. The Gemara never says, oh, you have to make sure that you start Shabbos 18 minutes before sunset. Or, oh, you have to, it doesn't say that. It doesn't tell us at all when we're supposed to start the adding to this kedusha. So he says, okay, so just got to be careful that you stop early enough that it's still during the day. Meaning, if it's, so we're talking about Shabbos, let's say, or Yom, we'll say with Shabbos, if because there's this idea of adding to Shabbos, to starting Shabbos a little early, we don't know how long it has to be. So let's say, okay, so just be careful, make sure to stop it sometime before Shabbos actually starts. So that's what the Gemara, and that's what Tosfos says. So source number three is the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, major code of Jewish law, says Yesh Omrim Shitzarich Losif Michol Al Kodesh. So there are those that say that you have to add from Chol, from the weekday onto Shabbat. That is to say, you start Shabbat a little bit early. Ratzah Lasoto Kulo Tosefet Osa. Ratzah Lasot Mimeno Kitzado Osa. You want to make it a long period of time, you want to make it a short period of time, up to you. You can add however much you want. You just have to make sure the Shulchan Aruch says, you just have to make sure that you're taking some time that's pre-Shabbat and you're applying Shabbat to it. You want to take 20 minutes, you want to take 45 minutes, you want to take an hour, you want to start Shabbos already at Plag HaMincha, much earlier, do whatever you want. But start as early as you want. Just make sure that you are starting it to give you some tosefet, that you're not starting Shabbat at the exact time. You're starting it a little bit early. That's what the Shulchan Aruch here is saying in source number three. The Aruch HaShulchan in source number four, a commentary formulated, I call it a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. It's the halachic work following the structure of the Shulchan Aruch. So he sort of gives a little bit more of an explanation. He says the following. He says, Kol makom shene'emar shvut, kolamar shvita, mosifin mechol al hakodesh. In any cases that the Torah says rest, we add from weekday into holy day. Right? He's referencing, of course, the Gemara that we saw earlier. V'zehu shekatav Rabbeinu Beit Yosef, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch wrote, which we also saw. Yesh omrim shetzarich lehosif mechol al hakodesh. Ayin shem. So that's what the Beit Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch ruled, that we should make sure to start Shabbat early. Start Shabbat a couple minutes early. What is that? That's based on this passage in the Gemara. Then he addresses the language, though, of Yesh Omri. So the Shulchan Aruch had said, there are those who say that you have to start Shabbat a little bit early. So the Aruch HaShulchan here is going to wonder, why does it say there are those who say? Why not say it? Isn't it, the Talmud was pretty clear? No, what is this coming from? Why is it there are those that say? So then he continues. V'chen katav lashon yesh omrim mishum de haRambam v'hatur lo hizkiru zeh rak b'tosefet yom kippuri. For whatever reason, we're not going to go into right now. We could have a whole long shir on the concept of tosefet Shabbat tosefet yom kippur. But for what the Aruch HaShulchan is pointing out, that according to Rambam and the Tur, this idea of tosefet yom kippur, the idea of adding from Chol, adding Shabbat, infusing part of our weekday with Shabbat, with Yom Tov, that is unique to Yom Kippur. Right? That was how the Gemara had learned it out, right? The Gemara had said, seen something special specifically and learned everything out about Yom Kippur. So the Aruch HaShulchan is saying, okay, so Rambam and the Tur and others, they think that this is a unique aspect of Yom Kippur. It can't necessarily apply elsewhere. And that's why the Mechaber, that's why the Shulchan Aruch said, there are those who say that you have to start Shabbat early because, to be intellectually honest, there are those who disagree and say that idea of starting early is only a function of Yom Kippur. He continues, me too, Rov Rabotinu, the vast majority of our rabbis, HaBehag, VeHaRif, VeHaRush, VeHasmag, VeHasmak, VeYurein, VeHaRam, VeMagid Mishnah. Right? He lists all of these rabbis say that we start early. Pasku, the Yesh Min HaTorah Tosefet Shabbat Yom Tov. They all rule that there is a requirement to start Shabbat and Yom Tov early, and that's a biblical obligation. It's not just on Yom Kippur. but it's a biblical obligation also for Shabbat, also for Yom Tov, that we have a biblical responsibility, a biblical obligation to start Yom Kippur, start Shabbat early. And so that's why, that's what the Mechaber says, that's what we should do. We have to make sure that we don't run into Shabbos immediately, but like, you know, Shabbos doesn't start when Shabbos starts. We start Shabbos a little bit earlier. And so he continues, Amnam ledina near de'ein nafkamina. He says, really, in the end of the day, I left out what I just translated into English. That's not in the English translation I have on the page. I apologize for that. But the Hebrew here, he continues, Amnam ledina near de'ein nafkamina. He says, really, in practice, there's no real difference. Whether you say that you have an obligation to start Shabbos early or not, you have to start Shabbat. Even if you're going to say, do you have to on the Torah level to start? Aruch HaShulchan says, in practice, everyone's going to agree to the same thing. Why? He says, because Dilit Samtem ain't koach biad basar vadam. If Shabbat starts at sunset, who here can say, right now it's before sunset and now it's after sunset? Who's going to be able to tell the precise moment? Okay, we've got now in 2021, we've got, you know, all these fancy luachs. We have the Shari Shemaim website. We have all the, you know, we have all the computers that are telling us when Shabbat starts, when Shabbat starts. Okay, so now look at us. We can know with down to the last second. But even is it really so accurate to the last second, depending on our altitude, our longitude, all these different things? Can you really be so sure? So the Baruch Hashem says, of course you can't be sure. Everyone's going to agree. Even if you have a luach that says sunset is at, you know, 4:57 p.m., I think it was today. Is your clock accurate? Is that so accurate? How do you know? You have to stop a little bit early. When the sun's starting to set, you stop. So you're automatically going to be adding from Shabbat adding Shabbat to the weekday. So he says, no one can really precisely know the moment that Shabbat starts. And after sunset, that's when this period called Bein HaShemashot starts. Shu Safek Skila. And now we're in this Bein HaShemashot, this twilight period, which is partially Shabbat, partially maybe Shabbat, maybe not Shabbat, but we're in a period of Safek Skila, that if you did Malacha, you might actually be executed for that. We're in Shabbos zone once the sun is set. And so you don't want to play around with this in any way, because you're now in Shabbos territory where performing malacha could have serious consequences. V'imken, therefore he concludes, imken, if so, kevan shematzik mi malacha kodem mashkia, and because you're not going to be able to precisely know what time sunset is, and in practice, you're just going to end up starting a little bit earlier before sunset. Since everyone's going to be stopping malacha before shkia, before sunset, harekan tosefet gamken. So then we have additional. We've started Shabbat early. Shere ein shiur ha-tosefet. There's no requirement for how long you have to add. You just have to add something. You have to add something before sunset. We're going to do that because you're not going to want to cut it down to the wire, because you don't know where that wire actually is. You're not going to know where that line is. So, okay. Everyone's performing it. So that's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. You don't have to worry. As long as you stop early enough, you stop before Shkia, before sunset, because you don't want to get into down to the wire, because you don't know precisely where it is, when it is. So everyone's going to stop a little bit earlier than Shkia, and you'll do it because there's no requirement of a certain amount. The Mishnah Berurah in source number 5, he gives an option for time. So the Lechadchila, Ein lahamtin ad harega acharon. He says, ideally, one should not wait until the last minute to start Shabbat. Again, and we're thinking, you know, starting Shabbat like candle lighting, right? You can't light candles. You can't kindle a flame on Shabbat. You don't want to light candles at the line, because if you light your match a minute too late, your suffix skila, you may have performed a malacha. It's really bad. So you're not, don't, the Mishnah says, don't. Don't wait till the last minute. You should light candles, start Shabbos when the sun is high and up in the, it's at the treetop, right? You want to, it's not sunset. It's close to sunset, but no one can confuse this as being sunset. It's still in the sky. close to the horizon, not there yet. Umisha machmir al atmo, upiresh atmo mimalacha, chatsi sha'a, al kol panim, shalish sha'a, kodem shkia, ashrei lo. If you want to be careful, you want to light candles, you want to start Shabbos 30 minutes before shkia, or at the very least 20 minutes before shkia, ashrei lo. You're very fortunate. That's great. And everyone's going to agree that if you start 30 minutes early, candlelight, sunset is at 4:57. You light candles at 4:27. You're 30 minutes early. Everyone's going to agree that you've started Shabbat early. You've captured Tosefet Shabbat. You're infusing the next 30 minutes with the sanctity of Shabbat, even though the sun hasn't even set yet. Everyone's going to be happy with that. So the Mishnah Berurah here seems to be advocating 30 minutes, 20 minutes. But he's saying, you don't have to do that long. You just really, really shouldn't cut it down to the wire, because as we've seen, it's really hard to know that precise moment that Shabbat starts. So I recommend doing a little bit earlier. So that would be, lighting candles 30 minutes before sunset, or 20 minutes before sunset. But what about this 18 minutes? Where does this 18 minute thing come from? There's this responsa of Rav Moshe Feinstein in source number 6. So someone asked about this idea of 18 minutes. Someone asked him, Shemashin Agot Hanashim Lahadlik Yurchet Minutin, Dakot Kodam Hashkia. So there are those who suggested that maybe the idea of lighting 18 minutes before sunset, Humishum Shitat Hayuraim, Shabain Hashmashud, who Gimel Rivi Mil, Kodam Hapkalad Hashkia. Maybe the reason that where does 18 minutes come from? It wasn't 30, it wasn't 20. So there are those who wrote to Rav Moshe saying 18 minutes, because that's when Bein Hashmashot starts, according to the position of the Re'im. The Re'im, it's without getting into the technical aspects of the dating and what time sunset is and how to compute sunset to stars out. It's a very, how long Bein Hashmashot is, how long twilight is, without getting down that confusing road. Suffice it to say that the Re'im believes that you see the sunset, 18 minutes before that is Bein Hashmashot, is twilight. And so according to him, that means that you can't do any work already after minute 18 or 18 minutes before sunset, because 18 minutes before sunset is when twilight starts. And so that's the time that you have to make sure that you're not performing any malacha. So that's what this person suggested to Rav Moshe Feinstein. He says, lo mistaber. He says, that doesn't seem to be logical. The correct? Shemen hag hu mitzad shita zo. Ella hu letosefet. It doesn't seem that it's about this. Rather, the idea that people starting 18 minutes earlier is not because they believe that Mikar Hagdin, strictly speaking, twilight, Bein Hashmashot started that early. No, that's not it. That's not it. The idea is it's Tosefet. The idea is that you want to start Shabbos a little bit early. And so Mishnah Berurah said 30 minutes, 20 minutes. Okay, so this is 18 minutes. V'gam beharbe mekomot. He says also, you should know that in many places, beharbe mekomot, madlikot rak ke'asara minut kodam mashkia. There are many places where women light 10 minutes before sunset. Chemedumani sh'af alei nefesh in machmirim lifrosh mimalacha otam she'in madlikim haner misha'at hadlakat haneron. He says, it seems to me that even people who are very frum, who are very, they're very orthodox, they're balei nefesh, they're very careful with their halachic, their Torah observance, even they, the shul puts out the candle lighting is at 4:30. They're not lighting candles at 4:30, they're lighting candles at 4:35, maybe at 4:40. Rav Moshe is saying, look, I see people to say that you have to light 18 minutes before and you can't go a minute later. He says, that's not what's happening. That's not how people practice. That's not what we do. People light even after the candle lighting is within a period of 18 minutes before sunset. So that's what he says. He says, you can be fine. Aval vadei ha-machmir ki-hayareim. You want to be machmir. You want to light exactly at minute, sunset minus 18 minutes, precisely at that moment. By all means, you should be blessed. That's a beautiful, that's a wonderful thing. Great, wonderful. But so you don't have to. And nonetheless, not only do you not have to, but if you don't, and some of your neighbor across the hall lit at sunset minus 18 minutes, and you haven't lit yet. He says, you don't have to worry about marid ayin. You don't have to be concerned about what does it look like. I think he's saying, because everyone knows this is not Shabbos yet. This is Tosefet Shabbat. You're adding to it. And so since you're adding to it, you can, this person wanted to add 20 minutes. This person wanted to add 30 minutes. This person, because it's crazy, because I got to get my kids to the bath and I got to finish making lunch, making dinner, and I got to get to shul, I got to shower, I got to shave. Okay. So you know what? I lit candles 5 minutes before sunset. Okay. That's fine. I did it. Right? And that's okay. And there's no concern about Marit Ayin. So that's how we practice. Okay. Ideally, you should light it at minute when the shul says candle lighting is best to light then. You want to light before that? By all means. You want to light after that? You don't have a chance to light till after that? Okay, you can go into that. You can light, sunset minus 10 minutes. It's not ideal, because the closer you get to actual sunset, the closer you're getting to the time that's really hard, the way the Aruch HaShulchan said, really hard to be mitzamtem. It's very, very difficult to be exacting and precise on that. So, okay, you can go into those 18 minutes, but you really don't want to. Because if you do and you get too close, you may have violated a biblical, Suffolk skila, potentially a capital crime by kindling the flames or whatever you're doing then. So you really don't want to go down that road. Right, so that's the bottom line for this. Shabbos is starting really early. You want to maximize as much time as you can. You need to go into those 18 minutes. Go into them. But you want to start Shabbos as quickly as you can. You don't want to drag it into Shabbos, either because it's impossible for you to know directly and because maybe there's a biblical requirement to start Shabbos early, this idea of Tosefet Shabbat. So that's part one. That's this concept of the 18 minutes, where this comes from. I should note, by the way, in different communities in Israel, the practice in Tel Aviv, in the practice of Yerushalayim and other cities, it's different communities have different standards for when, how much earlier than sunset do they light candles with candle lighting time. So you see that it's not a hard and fast rule. It really is subject to communal norms and what people do there, but you can go later. But it's ill-advised, A, because Tosefet Shabbat, it could be a biblical mitzvah to start Shabbos early, and B, because you really don't want to cut it too close to the line when Shabbos actually starts. Okay, that's part one. Any questions on part one before we move on to part two? Yeah.
I don't see the source sheet.
Oh, okay. Okay, so let me put it in the chat box again.
Thank you.
Sure. Okay.
I see.
If you click on that, it'll turn into a Google Doc.
Just a cute story, Thank Rabbi. You. I don't want to take all your time, but when I was working in my office on Friday, I would always say at 12 o'clock, I would not take any phone calls. I would not open any files. I would not see any clients. At 12 o'clock, I was ready, and that way I could get home before Shabbos got ended. Well, as you can appreciate, I would be lucky to get home 1 minute before Shabbos, even though I started closing up at 12 o'clock.
Yeah, but there you go.
That's a fact of business life.
Yeah, and Rabbi Bergman, I think it was last week, between Mincha Maariv, Rabbi Bergman was talking about this. There's a real idea what you're describing. There's a real idea to make sure you stop malacha earlier in the day, because once you start, you never know what's going to happen. And Shabbos always comes faster than you realize. So absolutely, it's a good idea. We could all benefit from getting ready for Shabbos earlier than what we typically do. Okay, but so let's say we're in this situation. You come home, you did everything that you possibly could. We'll say that you were at work and you got out as early as you can. You got stuck. Believe it or not, there was traffic on Bathurst. There's traffic on the Allen. There's traffic. You get home and you're like moments before, if you're in the 18 minutes, you get home in the 18 minutes and you look at your clock and you realize, oh my gosh, it is 18:01. The sun has set. It's starting to get dark outside. The sun just set. I didn't finish preparing Shabbos. What do I do? This could be a problem any time of the year, but it's much more likely to happen during the winter. So Shabbos comes earlier. It's minute 18:01, right? You're 1 minute after sunset. What do we do? So the Gemara in Masechet Eruvin, source number 7. So there's a little, this is a concept, there's a concept of an Eruv. There are many different types of Eruv. Most of the times when we talk about Eruv, we typically, when people say Eruv, they think, oh, you can carry. It's the string on the power line allows you to carry. So that's one type of Eruv. There's another type of Eruv which permits you to travel. Right? There's a certain we're required to stay within a certain region of where we live on Shabbat, and we're not supposed to travel beyond that region. But if we make something called an Eruv, that extends the amount of time that we can travel. And that Eruv is all Eruvs really are. It's food. It's food that you put in a certain place at before Shabbat starts. And that food in that location, by the fact that I can go and eat that food in that location on Friday night, that enables me to travel even further than I would be able to without. Without that, I only have 2,000 amos that I could travel out of the city, but I put that at the edge, I can go even further. It's without getting too far into this concept, but that's what we're talking about right here. So here it is. Netano the Elon, source number 7. So let's say you put this food that's going to be an Eruv that's going to enable you to walk a further distance because you can eat that food on Friday night. So Netano be'ilan, let's say you put that food in a tree. So lamala me'asara tfachim, ein Eruv o Eruv. If you put it in a tree above 10 handbreadths, no good. It's not a legitimate thing. Lamata me'asara tfachim, if you put it below 10 tfachim, 10 tfachim is its height, 10 handbreadths, you put it below 10 tfachim, Eruv o Eruv. If you put it below, it's a valid Eruv. That's all we want to see for right now. The Gemara, in the second paragraph in source number 7, the Gemara addresses it. So Yativ, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Rabbi Asi, Rava bar Natan. Yativ, Rav Nachman Gabai. So all these rabbis were sitting together. They were discussing this mission. The Ka'amri. Hi, Ilan. The Kai Hecha. This tree that the mission is talking about, where is this tree? Ilema, the Kai, Bershut HaYachid. Mali lamala, mali lamata. Rashid Yachid ola adarakia. So if this tree is sitting in the Rashid Yachid in the private domain, so then why does it make a difference if it's below, is it high? It shouldn't make a difference how high, how low it is. If it's in the Rashid Yachid, if it's in the private domain, shouldn't make a difference where it is. So rather, the Gemara concludes, skipping to the next paragraph, the Ella, the Kai Rashid Harabim, Vini Kaven Lishpot Lamata. Vaka mi vaha kamishta meshbi ilan. Rather, say that the tree stands in the public domain and say that he intended to establish a Shabbat residence on the ground below, right? So I'm on the ground below. I put my food up in the tree within 10 tefachim of the ground. That's okay. I'm planning on staying right here below the tree. The Gemara says, well, aren't you going to be climbing the tree? But isn't he making use of the tree? If he accesses his Eruv, it is prohibited to make use of a tree on Shabbat. And therefore, his Eruv should be invalid even if it is less than 10 handbreadths above the ground because it is inaccessible to him. Because in order to get it, you would have to climb the tree. You can't climb a tree on Shabbat. And this is the whole purpose of this whole piece, is this next line in the Gemara. So if you didn't understand that at all, you'll notice this. Le'olam zekai b'rishit ha-rabim, v'nitkaven lishvot lamata, v'rabi hi. Really, this whole position is the position of Rabbi. The Amar, and this is the key line, kol davar shehu mishum shvut, Lo gazrulav ben hashmashot. Any with regard to any program reading in the English here, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi who said, anything that is prohibited on Shabbat, not by Torah law, but rather due to rabbinic decree, it's called the Shavut, the sages did not issue the decree to apply during twilight, which is neither definitively day nor definitively night. Since using a tree is only prohibited due to a shvut or rabbinic provision, it is permitted to make use of the tree, etc., etc. The point of this is, this Gemara makes a statement, and the statement is, it is permissible. Any rabbinic prohibition, any shvut, any rabbinic prohibition, at the period of Ben Hashmashot, sun just set. I don't know what I'm supposed to do right now. The sun just set. What can I do? Shabbat started. The Gemara here is saying, this twilight period of Ben Hashmashot, Shavut is permitted. Certain rabbinic prohibitions, I'm going to say certain, we're going to get to that in a moment, rabbinic prohibitions are waived. As long as you're still in that twilight period, it's a minute or two right after sunset, it is permissible to violate a rabbinic prohibition. You're not really violating it because the rabbis didn't say, they said our prohibitions only start later, not during this twilight period. Source number 8, the tour, Or Chaim. Kol shvut rabbanan mutar ben hashmashot letzorach mitzvah. It says any rabbinic prohibition is permissible during ben hashmashot for the sake of a mitzvah. What is a mitzvah? To go and litol eruvot, to get your eruv, like that's the case that we just read in the Gemara. Hamunach b'karmelit, it's in a karmelit, which is a rabbinically prohibited domain. Oh, la'alot acharav vilan, or climbing a tree. Only told me menu lulav, or to get your tree, you for whatever reason, you left your lulav on top of the tree. You want to climb up there, okay. Oshia tarud, behutzrach laser peirot. Or you were very busy, you didn't have a moment to do it, and you didn't have a chance to tithe your fruit. You can tithe your fruit. Be'nash mashot. The chen ketav hari, and the re also says, shemutar lomar la'akum, be'nash mashot la'likaner. And you can also, the re says, look, you know what else is a rabbinic prohibition? Asking a non-Jew to do work for you. You realize Shabbos just started. You didn't turn your lights on. Oh my gosh, it's twilight. Sunset just happened, but we didn't light them. Our lights are not on. So to light the lights on my own, I can't. But to ask a non-Jew to light it for me, asking a non-Jew to do malacha is a rabbinic prohibition. So the Re said, you can ask a non-Jew to do work for you during this period of Bein HaShemashot because the rabbis didn't institute their rabbinic prohibitions during this time. This is a key piece. Beit Yosef in source number 9 says also on this piece of the tour, commentary on the tour, source number 9, he says, Mashma didavka l'divar mitzvah hu. Delo gazru alav dumya dahi matmitin de be'irvin chuminhi. The kaimlan de'ein ma'arvin ela l'divar mitzvah. He says, look, the implication, can you do this for anything? Can I say, you know what, I want to finish playing my video games right now? It's the sunset just started, but okay, but I want to finish playing it. Can you do that? No. The implication is that it's only for the sake of a mitzvah. Because how do we learn this whole time? We learned this whole thing from Eruv. You can do an Eruv only when there's a mitzvah that's going to come about from it. So he says, okay, the kind of one Amar and Elul Devar Mitzvah, we only allow you to make an Eruv for a mitzvah purpose. Avam b'makom deleika Devar Mitzvah b'en ha-shmashot nami gazru mishim shvu. But then Yosef says, no. The only time you can do this is when what you're trying to do is a mitzvah. If it's not a mitzvah, if it's just you want to do this rabbinic prohibition, so you want to wait till Bein HaShemashot, that's not how it works. If it's related to a mitzvah, you need light to be able to see, you need to tithe your fruits to be able to eat them. Something that's related to a mitzvah, get your lulav, get the shofar, whatever it is. In that case, because it's related to a mitzvah, the rabbis didn't enforce the rabbinic prohibition. This is then codified in the Shulchan Aruch in source number 10. This is still the Beit Yosef writing in source number 10. Kol ha-dvarim shehem asrim yidivrei sofrim, anything that's rabbinically prohibited, lo gazru alehem bein ha-shmashot. They did not say that it's prohibited during this bein ha-shmashot twilight time period. V'hu sheyehei shem dvar mitzvah o dochek ketzad. So it's got to be either a mitzvah or some pressing or dochak, some pressing circumstance. Ketzad, mutalo bein ha-shmashot, la'lo ve'ilan, o la'shud al p'nei ha-mayim, la'vi lulav. So, and it, you could do, if bein ha-shmashot, his sun just set, and you realize, oh, I need to get the lulav, I need to get the shofar, whatever it is, you can do that. Chen, morid me'ha-ilan, o motzi me'ha-karmeli. You could go down from a tree, you could take something from a karmeli. Eruv shesa. So you could do that, because it's for a mitzvah. Chen, im haya tarud v'nechpaz l'davar shehu mishum shvut, mutar ben hashmashot mitam zeh mutar lamar ben hashmashot la'akum la'dik ner lo ner la'shabbat. Similarly, if one was bothered, anxious, there was something that they couldn't do, they didn't get a chance to do it. Again, it's not like playing video games. It's something major that you need to do for a shot. It was something really big that you didn't get a chance to do it. So you could ask, because you're tarud and nechpaz, you could ask a non-Jew to do it for you. And therefore, he says exactly what we saw the Torah quoted the Re, that if it's ben hashmashot, you can ask a non-Jew to light Shabbat's candles for you. So it's 1801. A sunset just that you're, oh my gosh, I didn't light it, do anything? So you have the opportunity to light the candle yourself. You can't do it. Biblically, you can't kindle a flame. But to ask a non-Jewish neighbor to come by to light the candle for you, to light a flame for you, that you can do. You can't do that if it's too late. But in the moments after sunset, during this twilight Bein HaShemashot time period, it's acceptable to ask a non-Jew to do this for you. The Mishnah Berurah hedges a little bit, pulls it back a little bit, and he says, Kol ha-dvarim v'chulei, the Shulchan Aruch said any rabbinic prohibition. So the Mishnah Berurah says, not really any prohibition. It says, Elishna de kol lav dafka. Yesh dvarim she'isirim yishdiram edivrei sofrim, gazu alehem bein ha-shmashot af l'tzorach mitzvah. He says, there are certain things that are still rabbinically prohibited even during the bein ha-shmashot time period. And those are things, v'atam mishum dehem krovim lavo lidei malacha gemura. Yeah, right there. that's the things that are still not good, bein hashmashot, those are things that if you do them, you are very close to violating a biblical prohibition. Those types of things the rabbis didn't allow, because the reason they prohibited them was because they don't want you to do the biblical prohibitions. They're going to allow you to do it here, but this is still quasi-Shabbat. So these types of things, Mishmaros says, they were never lenient for those types of things. They're only lenient for things that are in this category of shvut, that are things like asking a non-Jew to do malacha for you, that are never going to actually, you're not going to do them and accidentally almost end up performing a malacha. So that's the Mishmaros says, they give all remaining prohibitions. It's not. But certainly asking a non-Jew to do malacha for you, to light your Shabbos candles for you, that there would be no problem with. The Aruch HaShulchan, again, that we saw earlier, source number 12. Be'er Zvarav, so he explains this idea. Dele Davar Mitzvah Tamid Mutar B'Shvut Bein HaShmashot. If it's something that's a mitzvah, it is always permissible Bein HaShmashot, during this twilight period, to violate a rabbinic prohibition. Ve'ilu Ledavar HaRashut Im Haya Taru V'Nechpad Lo Haya Yachol Asot Mikodem Mutar Gam B'Tzorchav. This is, if it's something that's not a mitzvah, then if you were totally consumed before Shabbos and you didn't get a chance to do it, that's when it's mutter. That's when it's permissible. The be'emet milashon hashas, the kamam bekamot, you just look in truth, you look in the Talmud, all the places that it mentions this idea that rabbinic prohibitions are not enforced during the twilight time period entering into Shabbat. Shemar shvut lo gazru ben hashmashot, mashma, the implication in all those cases, it doesn't seem to say that it's unique to mitzvah. It could be applying to other cases as well. Mihu, however, davar rak gabe. He says, look, it never says explicitly it has to be a mitzvah, so it might not only be a mitzvah, but all the cases that it brings it up is all talking about an eru. So it's always talking about a mitzvah. The kaimalan de ein ma'arvin el ledivar mitzvah v'ilu lo mitzvah gemura el lekabel pnei chavero v'afilu tayel. But this is, so we always allow this. We allow this rabbinic violating rabbinic prohibition when related to eru, but because it's a mitzvah. But the bounds of what a mitzvah is very broad, right? Even if you're going to greet your friend or go on a walk, that would still be in the qualification of mitzvah. So he says the kaimalan gamken de ein erev ledivar harashut. Eruvo eruv, what kind of rabba midato, etc. Skipping to the last line here, he says the devar harashut. So bottom line, if it's something that you want to do that's not related to a mitzvah purpose, you could do it. Aruch HaShulchan says im haya nechpad v'tarud. If you were so distracted and busy that you did not have the ability to do this before Shabbat started, aval devar harashut v'harvacha v'ya yachol lasot mikodem v'vade lo itir. But if it's something that you could have done before, it's not required, it's not a mitzvah, you could have done it before, you just, for whatever reason, you chose not to, you said, I can do it after Shabbat starts, it's only rabbinically prohibited, I can do it, that's certainly forbidden. The only reason, the only way you can rely on this, if it's a mitzvah, it seems that the Aruch HaShulchan is saying, if it's a mitzvah thing, you don't have to worry, if you did, you can do it during this period. But if it's not a mitzvah thing, the Aruch HaShulchan is saying, if it's not a mitzvah thing, the only way you would ever have any leniency to do a rabbinic prohibition during this time is if you really had absolutely no opportunity to do it beforehand, which is probably unlikely. But the bottom line, and this is what we saw, the Shulchan Aruch himself had said explicitly, that if it's 18:01, it's 1 minute now into after sunset, I realize there's still things to do. So if the things that are needed to do are mitzvah related, they're for my meal on Shabbat, or it's the candle, I mean, presumably I haven't lit candles yet. So in that case, I can't light the candles myself. There are probably many things that I can't do myself. But for me to ask a non-Jew, my neighbor who's not Jewish, to do this for me, which normally you can't do. You can't ask a non-Jew to do malacha for you. But in this case, it's twilight right now. It's Bein HaShmashot. I don't have any other opportunity. So I can go ahead and I can ask a non-Jew to do this, perform this malacha for me and light the Shabbos candles for me. That's part number two. That if you end up in the moment of the 18 minutes, there is room, there's some wiggle room, because many rabbinic prohibitions are not enforced during this time period of twilight. Any questions on that before moving on to the third and final piece? Okay, so the third and final piece. Yeah, Charles, you have a question?
Could everyone mute themselves because there's some background noise? Thank you.
Okay. Charles, you're not unmuted yet. Do you want to just type it in the chat box? Okay. So we'll come back if you, when you get yourself unmuted, you can let us know and we can go back to that. So as a tangent, as a continuation from the last piece.
I unmuted myself.
There you go. Okay.
Rabbi, lighting of candles.
Yes.
Is that rabbinic?
Lo tivaru esh b'chol moshvotechem b'yom haShabbat. You shall not kindle a flame in any of your dwelling places on the day of Shabbat. It is a biblical prohibition.
Well, one minute. That wasn't my question.
Okay. It was on Jeopardy a couple of weeks ago.
Where do we get the tradition to light candles before Shabbat?
I'm guessing that's a rabbinic mitzvah. So I'm not sure. Zachor v'shamor, right? We why specifically with lights? I'm not sure. I'd have to.
I don't think I've ever really
thought about that. But
so it's rabbinic, right?
Right.
That's what I need to know.
Yeah. So lighting the candles, but the mitzvah would be a rabbinic mitzvah. But the act of me striking the match would be a biblical violation. So I can't do that. But I could ask someone else to perform this mitzvah for me. And that's what we would do. We would say you should ask someone to do it for you. But let's say you didn't have the non-Jew there. This is going to be the third part of this. Let's say there was no non-Jew. Everything was taken care of. You were able to manage everything, but unfortunately, you were so busy with everything, and you realized, oh my gosh, I didn't light Shabbos candles, and there's no non-Jew for me to. I live in 3,000 Bathurst. They're like 95% of the people who live in my building are Jewish. It's hard for them to find a non-Jew. I couldn't find a non-Jew. I couldn't light. I didn't light. So what do we say now? This is the third thing. Missed candle lighting entirely. There is an opinion quoted by the Ramah, by the Ashkenazic authorities, source number 13. He says, you could light as many candles as you want, at least two. If a woman, it's assuming a woman, because even in 2021, in very progressive communities, it's still lighting Shabbos candles in a married household, oftentimes falls on the wife. Many times falls on the wife. So that's what the Ramah is assuming. Ha'isha shishachacha pam achad lehadlik madleket kol yameha gimel neirot. He quotes this idea that if a woman forgets to light Shabbos candles, she has to light a third candle every week after that. The Mishnah Brura, source number 14, said, this is Gimel Neirot, three candles. Why? What is three? What do you mean three candles? Myri b'shehaita regila b'shnayim. It's assuming that she normally lights two. She forgot one week. V'imaita regila, so she has to light a third one. V'imaita regila mitchila b'shlosha. And if she normally lit three candles, so then the punishment or the response you'd have to do is light four candles. And if she forgot for several weeks, she has to add one additional candle for every week that she missed. All this is a penalty. To remind her, to penalize her, to make sure that she's more careful for Shabbat's honor. Valken. Since the whole reason is because it's a punishment, it's a penalty to say you should have been honoring Shabbat more, and here you totally forgot about candle lighting. Since this penalty is like this, imken, im netensa, if she was unable to light, not because she forgot, but because she was barred from lighting, lo hidlika, and she didn't light, kigon shaita bevet asurim, she was in prison, or something like that. She doesn't need to add anything because the reason she didn't light wasn't because she was negligent. She did not light because she forgot about the sanctity of Shabbat. She didn't light because she lacked the capacity, the freedom, the ability to light. The Shmirat Shabbat Kilchata, contemporary compendium of the laws of Shabbat, explains, it broadens it. You don't have to be in prison. The Medrash Memorim, the Shachacha, that she forgot. onas. If she didn't light because of onas, she couldn't. Instead of saying in prison, he has it here. Let's say, you know, she had a sick kid. The kid was throwing food all over the kitchen. I don't know. She did not light because she forgot. Because she was too busy, you know, binging Netflix. She said, oh my gosh, it's okay, I forgot to light. No, it's because she was busy running around with everything and she didn't have an opportunity to light. Had she had the opportunity, she certainly would have lit. She didn't forget. She didn't have the ability to. She couldn't. So if that's the case, Shmir Shvat Yochata says, Einat Srichalos, or she doesn't need to add anything. So I would say most of the time that you're coming, it's a Friday night and you realize, oh my gosh, it's minute 1801. It's unlikely that, I forgot to light. It's more likely that you wanted to light, but there were 1,000 other things that you were also trying to do at that time. And things took longer than they were supposed to. You didn't get to the point. And so you couldn't light. And so it's probably likely that nowadays, somebody who didn't get the opportunity, they couldn't, then this penalty would not apply. And also, on source number 16, the Eliezer Malamed in all the contemporary posek in source number 16, he says, or cloud. So all of this is assuming that there was no light at all. If there was an electric light bulb, even though they were not lit to honor Shabbat, since in practice, they did not miss out on Oneg Shabbat. They were able to see their food. Right? The whole point of lighting candles on Shabbat is essentially for Shalom Bayit. So you're not tripping over each other, but you can see what you're eating. So if you had lights lit already in the house, someone turned on the light. So already you have Oneg Shabbat. You're able to see. Okay, so you didn't do the mitzvah the way it was supposed to be done. You didn't make the bracha. You didn't do everything that you were supposed to do. But still, the Penine Halacha says, she does not have this penalty of lighting a new candle every week because in the end of the day, you had what you needed. You had light. Now, that's the fundamental purpose. That's the reason that the mitzvah of Hadlakat Nerud exists. Okay, don't take that as an explanation to not light Shabbat candles on Friday night. It's a mitzvah. It's a beautiful thing. And not everyone agrees with the Pinyanei Halacha in this manner. But I think for the most part, I'd say for the questions, this came up with me once. That was the guidance that I received in practice. I think most people practice in this way, that if there's already light, especially if you turned on the light for the sake of Shabbos, if you said, oh, it's going to be dark in here, I want to make sure there's lights on for Shabbos. So then I think even in that case, everyone would agree because then you're lighting for Shabbos. But even if it wasn't like that, according to Pinyanei Halacha, as long as there was some light on in the house, you wouldn't have a concern of not fulfilling the mitzvah, and the penalty would not exist. So bottom line for this last piece, it's into the 18 minutes. You're out of the 18 minutes. It's too late. You didn't light and you'd have no opportunity to light. So if it's a situation where you didn't light because you just forgot, Shabbos wasn't as much of a priority as it should have been, and you just like simply forgot, so then there would be a penalty. But if you had the lights on already and the reason you didn't light was because you were honest, you were trying to light, you really wanted to light, but there were just all these things got into the way. You had a sick child, you were in prison. I don't know. In those cases, then the penalty would not apply, and one would not have to light additional candles after that. And so that is a little bit on to racing sunset into the understanding these 18 minutes. Now we've changed the clock. Shabbos is getting early, and it's continuing to get early and early every week. But hopefully this will give us a little bit of an idea. This three-part series will help us out a little bit as we have the opportunity to celebrate Shabbat earlier in the day on Friday. Any questions on this last section or on anything that we've covered today, or to be honest, on anything that we've done over the last 3 weeks?
Rabbi.
Yes.
Does the 18 minutes also apply on Yom Tov, or is it just for Shabbos?
Yeah. So we saw the Gemara had indicated that it applies on anytime there's Shavuot, anytime there's or Shavuot, I guess. Anytime there's it's Yom Kippur, Yom Tov, Shabbat. The Gemara had applied it to all of them. So we saw It seems like Rambam and the Torah think it really only on at least a biblical level applies on Shabbat, but many other authorities believe that it applies across the board. Shabbos, Yom Tov, yeah, it would be the same.
Okay.
That was a long answer to a short question. Yes.
What happens if you forget to shut the refrigerator light?
Good question. Different people might say different things, and I would encourage you to consult with Rabbi Diamond or Rabbi Bergman specifically for this question. I would say it's probably best to this could be a long answer, but the short answer, I would say it's probably best to have a non-Jew open the fridge for you. If it's Bein HaShemashot, it would be even better, but even if it's not during Bein HaShemashot, there's a general principle of Shvut to Shvut B'Makom Mitzvah, asking a non-Jew to perform a rabbinic prohibition on Shabbat, on the body of Shabbat, like not during this Bein HaShemashot period, but not during Twilight, but on Shabbat itself, on Saturday morning. If it's the place of a mitzvah, it's permissible. So if your food is in the fridge, you can't get it out. Ask a non-Jew to open the fridge to turn on the light. According to many people, would only be a rabbinic prohibition anyway. To ask a non-Jew to do that would also be okay. But I would encourage you to consult with Rabbi Diamond and or Rabbi Bergman to get the official Shari Shemaim Psak Halacha on that. But it's interesting long discussion. Is it the fact that there are lights on in the kitchen? Then when you open the fridge, does the light that turns on, does that really add anything? If the lights are already on in the kitchen, there's a lot to discuss about that particular question. And what the malacha is, how likely the malacha is going to be, what the impact of that, there's a lot that goes into that. So that's an even longer answer to a short question. I would say ask Rabbi Diamond or Rabbi Bergman, but if you don't ask them, ask them. But we can talk further after.
Thank you.
Sure. Yeah, Gail, go ahead. I'm gonna stop the recording right now, but everyone can stay.